There are many Christians who have given themselves over to the idea that they will always be sinners who always sin. But is that really the message of the gospel?
Let's see what the Bible says about that. Hey, welcome to the podcast. I'm glad you're here for this one. If you are joining us on YouTube, you can go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube channel, like this video. If you have any comments, please drop them down below. We've got podcasts that come out every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m., so here we are for another week. It is going to be great.
Yeah, so there's a common line of thinking among Christians and church groups that say things like this. Well, I'm just a rotten sinner. I'm only human. I can't help my sin, my struggle is just who I am, and besides, it's every man's battle. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you have to ask a question, is that really what this is all about? Is that what faith and Jesus and a cross and a tomb?
New life.
Resurrection.
Yeah, resurrection power.
Is that what this is all about?
Yeah.
Basically, I just, hey, welcome to the club of sinners.
Yeah.
We're all that.
And we just recognize that there is a God and that, you know, we are all going to still get together. And we're going to sing songs about this God, but we're not actually going to change.
Life's not going to be any different.
No.
Because those who say those kind of things, none of them ever say, you know what? Also, my life is great.
Yeah.
I love the Lord. I'm walking in joy and freedom and power, and I'm making a difference for the kingdom.
Yeah.
No one says that.
Yeah.
Who believes those things?
Yeah. I'm just a rotten sinner, but man. My relationship with my wife has grown so much because of my faith in God, and you know,
yes.
I've brought other people to Christ, and you know, our church is thriving, and change is happening.
Right,
but my struggle is just who I am.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah.
And instead, those kind of statements, I'm just a rotten sinner, I'm only human, I can't help my sin, my struggle is just who I am, it's every man's battle. Those who say all of that, those are just statements of defeat.
Yeah.
You are agreeing that you are already defeated, and therefore, that is all you will ever experience.
Yep.
With this odd mix of proclaiming to believe in Jesus.
Yeah. And then people go, I don't know why our churches are dying, and I don't know why people aren't coming to faith, and I don't know why young people are leaving, and I don't know
why the next generation is not picking up the faith.
Yeah. It's like, well, it's because we have tarnished it.
Yes, exactly.
We have not taken the truths.
Right.
Made them personal to our life and then passed it on to the next.
Right, right.
So it's to leave Christianity at that and see our churches go down, you've got to ask the question, like, is that really what Jesus came for here for our lives to be impacted in this way?
Right.
And it's, did Jesus really come to meet us in our sins? Hey, here's grace, but actually, let's just keep you right in your sin. You don't actually have to change, and you just stay right there. You know, I meet you there. Hey, put my arm around you. That's tough. Hey, you're going through those things. That's, you know, how hard is that? Temptation.
I'm here with you.
Yeah.
Keep on sinning. I'm here with you.
You got Jesus in your corner,
yeah.
Whatever that might mean, you know. Jesus did not come to suffer, die on the cross, make payment for our sins so that we can stay enslaved to the same sins for the entirety of our life. That is an obvious, biblically found, the answer is no. Jesus did not come just to come here and be like, oh, that's a bummer that you struggle with those things.
Yeah.
But that there is life change and a call to live a life at greater purpose and in a different way as a new creation with his spirit in you.
Yeah, where you actually are on a trajectory of sinning less.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Which some people are like, no, because I'm always going to be a sinner.
Right. No. We're going to see today that if you really have real faith in Jesus Christ, you should be on a trajectory that has you with less and less sin.
As you grow, less
desire for it, less participation in it, and actually much greater victory over it. That's the trajectory that we'll see from Scripture today. But the sad thing is that many Christians have bought the other line, and therefore, even when they approach Scripture, they look for confirmation of that. It's confirmation bias is what it's called.
Yeah.
Or I enter into a conversation, a document, or even the Bible, looking for it to say what I want it to say. So, sadly, people have taken the most critical hinge moment of the Bible, in the New Testament at least, that helps people be free from sin and move on toward walking in greater sinlessness, they've taken it and totally twisted it And that message is from the Apostle Paul. And it's in the book of Romans, and it's in chapter 7, which is just right in the middle of the greatest point of turning for the follower of Jesus Christ, the point that leads someone to actually having victory in their life. And chapter 8 will be the place where Paul will talk about being more than conquerors, talk about walking in the Spirit and dying to the flesh. So in chapter 7, at the end of it, Paul makes this statement that is repeated so many times, at least by the people I hear it from, they quote it in defeat. They say, well, you know what the Apostle Paul said, the things I don't want to do, I do, and the things I want to do, I don't do. And they just see, and they stop right there. They quote that, and then they feel some kind of solace, like,
at least old St. Paul struggled the same way I did. Right.
Me, Paul, and you, Jesus, right here.
Yeah,
here
exactly.
Sinners, like sinners together with Jesus.
And that's, it sounds, it's usually said quick as well, you know, the things I don't want to do, I do, and the things I do, I don't want to do. And it's like, what does that even mean? What are we saying? What is happening? And to someone who has just heard that a lot, it's like, oh, okay, so whenever I mess up, this is my justification then.
Yes.
Is that even Paul says, I sin, and I don't want to, but I just do. The end.
And I want to do right, but I don't.
I can't. Yeah, I can't, won't, don't, whatever it is.
So here we are.
The end.
Sitting in the sorry sinner stew.
Yeah, and that's the end of the Bible, apparently.
Come visit our church.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's terrible.
It is terrible. That's not what Paul was talking about. He wasn't saying that so we'd all feel better about our struggle.
Yeah.
He wasn't saying that so we'd feel sorry or feel sorry for him. Mm-hmm. He was saying it because he was making a point. This is not how it should be.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be caught in the place where we don't want to do sin, but we do it anyway, or where we want to do right, but we don't do it. That is not where Paul was landing. Mm-hmm. It was only part of a conversation where he said, who's going to deliver me from this?
Yeah.
Who's going to get me out of this spot? Because this is miserable.
Yeah.
Being in a spot where you're doing what you don't want to do and not able to do what you want to do, that sounds like slavery to me.
Mm-hmm.
You're stuck in a spot, chained up. You can't do the thing you want to do, and you end up being forced to do the things you don't want to do. That's slavery.
Yep.
Paul was not advocating that. Jesus never advocated that. That is not what this is all about.
Yeah.
Please don't ever quote that again and agree with it.
And then go, just a slave of sin.
Here we
again,
are.
To that, he'd say, you need to be born again then.
Yes, yes. So Paul would go on in that same passage leading up into chapter 8 and say, who's going to deliver me from this? Jesus will. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We can be delivered from that.
Yeah.
Chapter 8 opens with, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh. You don't keep doing that, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law, the entanglement, the enslavery of sin and death. So things I don't want to do, I do. Things I do, I don't want to do. That was the slavery. That was the death spot. That was the prison.
Yeah.
Paul says, no, I've been set free from that by Jesus. He's given me a new set of desires. He has received me. He has cleansed me. He has accepted me. He's given me his Spirit, and now I'm walking in obedience to him.
Yeah.
Am I perfect at it? No, but I have freedom from the condemnation of my sin, and it is putting me on a path of loving him more and actually sinning less. I'm walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And it's just, it's so terribly sad to see the church or Christians just wallowing in that place of defeat. This is not why Jesus came. He came to set us free, not to just pat us on the back in our sin.
Yeah, so that's so good. And this is the consistent message of Jesus in the New Testament writers, is that your life has a different pattern. You walk a different way. It says, who do not walk according to the flesh.
So, yes.
Again, not that it's like, so therefore, immediately upon salvation, you're perfect. Like you were day to day, you're never going to sin again. No, but you don't walk according to the flesh. That's no longer the pattern of your life. That's no longer the default. But you're Spirit-filled, so it's the Holy Spirit's desires that are now in you, and you walk accordingly, right?
Yeah, because he has declared you holy and blameless and righteous. You have been declared perfect.
Yes.
So now you need to believe and walk in that so that your walk matches your identity.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So you see Jesus speaking to people in his ministry along these lines. Mm-hmm. So to the woman who was abused and caught in adultery, he says to her after this whole ordeal happens, he says, go and sin no more. That right there is game-changing that Jesus would say that to someone.
Right.
Because this has been between our conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, why? If Jesus saw that people were just always going to sin, and it's just like, too bad. You know, that's a bummer. You're always going to be a sinner. He would not then go and tell someone, now go and sin no more.
Yeah.
It's like, why would he put that forward if that's not even an option at all for her,
right.
You know?
But he was very bold. He called out sin. He said, what you've been doing is sin. Now I'm calling you to go and to not do that anymore.
Yes, and to live a life that now is different, marked different.
Yeah, he didn't say, go and I'll be with you when you sin.
Yeah.
I'll pat you on the back when you sin. That's not what he said. No, he called her to, like you say, a radical change. Mm-hmm.
And it's not even like, go and try to not sin as much, but go and sin no more. I think part of the reason why people are like, nah, there's no way. Let's just kind of look over that a little. Because that's a weighty call that even extends to us to go and sin no more now in our life, to where we have to reckon with areas where we are willful, intentionally sinning and say, this is not what I'm called to. I'm called to the opposite of this, actually, right? And then Jesus, again, just to be in his consistency of the message that he has shared, even to his disciples, he said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It says, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. So again, we go back to the whole slavery idea.
That
if you are committing sin, you are under its control.
Yep.
And Jesus came to bring freedom. He came to set the captives free, that you would not be at sin's call every time, but that you would be at his call. You would be filled with his spirit rather than being controlled by the flesh, right? Yeah.
And that you're on a trajectory, again, of less sin and more freedom.
Yes.
You're not still controlled by the same urges and appetites and actions and habits that you once were, but you are now filled with a new desire and a new set of actions that are different than you used to. Habits that are actually holy and righteous.
Yeah.
Patterns that are actually healthy and good. Relationships that are selfless and sacrificial and righteous. That's the trajectory he called people to walk on.
Yes, and he gives great purpose in that as well. It's not just a soft call to like maybe live a little bit different, but it is a radical change difference that your life ought to look dramatically different, right?
True.
So just to continue going on at the consistency of Jesus and the New Testament writers, you see John, he says this, whoever has been born of God does not sin. Like, what in the world? That's pretty intense.
Yeah.
But he says, whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God.
Yeah.
So being born again should look very different, not justifying reasoning with, oh, hey, I still kind of sin here and there, but that it should look different. That is not to say, if you sin, you're not born of God.
That's correct.
That's not what it is. There's obviously grace and there is forgiveness, but those who have been born again ought to live a life that seeks to not be willfully, actively, intentionally sinning. Yes? Yeah,
right, because that part of him that's in you, as it says, his seed remains in him. I've been born again by his seed, his word. That part of me that's alive in me cannot actually sin. The Jesus in me, the Holy Spirit in me, cannot sin.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yes.
So in my actions, if I choose to sin, I'm acting counter to what my actual identity is.
Yeah.
And so when I do, I quickly confess that and receive forgiveness and move on. because yes. that's not who I am.
Yeah.
It's not what I do. So okay. again, there should be this trajectory of where sin is a minority factor in my life.
Yes.
It should be on the dramatic decrease. If it is plateauing, if it is controlling, then something's wrong.
Yeah.
Something exactly. is, I'm not believing correctly about something.
Yes. And so again, literally just for Paul, what he says, our old man was crucified with him. That is to be put to death, mm-hmm. like to be done away with, right? It says mm-hmm. that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, that we should right. no longer be controlled. And so he says, therefore, walk in the Spirit, mm-hmm. and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Yeah.
They are opposed.
Yeah. And then this body of sin, this old pattern, this who I used to be,
yeah.
starts to be done away with. It's yes. crucified. I'm no longer a slave to it.
Yes.
It doesn't control me anymore. I don't yeah. get stuck in this. Well, I end up doing what I don't want to do, and I want to do, and I can't do it. No, yeah. stop. Yeah. That's not the calling. We're yeah. to move on from that place.
Yeah. yeah. And to be not just tolerated, not that the body of sin might be not as present.
Affirmed.
But that, yeah, exactly. But that it would be done away with, that right. it would be removed, and yep. that you would be new creation.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Peter, he says, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your mm-hmm. conduct, because mm-hmm. it is written, be holy, for I am holy. There is a high calling
yep.
to the Christian life, a higher standard.
Yeah.
And it's not, okay, if I want to be a Christian, I better do enough good so that I can prove that I'm a Christian. It's right. not that. It's
no.
that I have been given a new identity. I'm no longer a slave to sin. And now the life that I live imitating Jesus,
mm-hmm.
not trying to hope that Jesus will love me because I'm doing things he does.
Right.
Not that. Because I have been loved, because I have been forgiven,
yes.
I now do what Jesus would do. Yep. And does.
Yeah.
Because I'm
yeah.
filled with the Spirit.
Yeah. Even Peter's statement, be holy for I am holy, I used to think of that in such a wrong way. And it's easy to get into this trap of like, oh, okay, well, he's holy. He's way up here and I'm down here. So he's there. So I got to get there somehow.
Yeah.
Well, no, if it says, be holy for I am holy, Peter is saying the Holy Spirit and Jesus is, they're in you.
Yeah.
And that's who you now are. So therefore, be what you've been made one with.
Yeah.
Not saying reach yeah. after some extreme, you know, higher checklist.
Yeah.
Saying, no, just be what you've been made.
Yeah.
Walk in that. Walk exactly. in what you, who you so are.
Good. So good. Yeah. yeah. So they all had the belief and the confidence that following Jesus gives you the power to break sinful patterns, mm-hmm. the power of sin, the enslavement of sin
yep.
in your life. Being a follower of Jesus gives you that power. Being surrounded by other people will encourage you in breaking that slavery to sin. They all believed, taught, and had the confidence that following Jesus would give you the desire to not sin, that your yep. desires would change to be his desires,
yep.
and that would change then the way in which you live your life. They believed and taught that following Jesus would set you on a course of less sin, that your life would tomorrow would be less sin than it is today,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And that gradually in your life, you would move more to a place of less and less and less active, willful, intentional
yep.
sinning.
Yep, yep.
That's what the Christian life ought to look like,
yeah.
right?
And that you would actually be put on a course of where there was a rhythm and a routine of holiness and righteousness
yeah.
and
yes.
prayer and faith. And that was overtaking anything
yes.
else that was back there.
Yes.
It's not just I'm lessening sin. I am mm-hmm. radically increasing righteousness
exactly.
in my life.
Exactly. It goes back to the walk in the Spirit.
Yeah.
That's the call of the Christian. It's not try to sin a lot less.
Right.
Focus on not doing bad.
Mm-hmm.
No. Walk in the Spirit. And in so doing, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Right.
Walk in the Spirit.
Yeah. It was a radical concept in Jesus' day. And you had Pharisees who walked outwardly righteous,
yeah.
but inwardly they were just deaf on the inside. Mm-hmm. And so their way to deal with the conundrum of the outer and the inner was just to cover it up,
yeah.
just to try to be more religious, to cover up what wasn't religious. And Jesus was saying, no, this is not why I've come. I didn't come to put more makeup on the pig. That's yeah. not why I'm here. I've come instead to change you, who you are on the inside. And if you'll receive my love, if you'll receive my forgiveness, it will actually cause a brand new spirit to be born in you.
So good.
And that spirit will cause you to not want to sin. It's yeah. such a counterintuitive way. The other way, the Pharisees was, I'm going to try hard, try hard, try hard. No, Jesus says, if you're going to try hard to do anything, I want you to try hard to take in the fact that I love you, I've forgiven you, mm-hmm. I'm calling you to walk and follow after me.
That's so good.
That will radically change you. And the more you take that in, the more it will change you, and the more it will actually cause you to want to sin less.
That's woo. I think that stuff just trips people up because yep. They know I should not be sinning. I don't want to be sinning.
Correct.
But there's a fear of, like, you read some of these verses, maybe you've had bad, weird church experiences where you've been burned yep. by a pastor or church leaders or yep. whoever that heap guilt and shame, condemnation on you for when you do sin rather right. than offering, giving mm-hmm. grace, mm-hmm. forgiveness, love when you sin.
Yep. And reminding you who you are in Christ.
Exactly. Yes. The identity aspect of it. It's yes. not, you're not up and down and up and down. You're in, whenever you have been born again, you're in Christ. The
yep.
Holy Spirit is in you.
Yep.
So with all of those things, you can have this great pendulum swinging day to day thing, moment by moment thing of like, oh no, I sinned. Do I even love God? I must not love God. And what if I don't love God enough? And then what if now if I'm not loving God enough, then I'm sinning even more? And so what do you say to the person who is stuck in that loop of I'm afraid I don't love God enough because I'm still mm-hmm. sinning so much? Mm-hmm. Like what?
Mm-hmm.
What is the encouragement to that individual?
Yeah. I think it goes back to remembering, look, Jesus came to love you personally. He came to die for you personally. Mm-hmm. And he offers you that. When you receive that, you are radically, fundamentally changed. You receive a brand new spirit. You are resurrected. You're someone you never were before. And that new you can never be snatched away. That new you desires to serve the Lord. So stop fearing that you're going to do something
yeah.
to kick yourself out yeah. of God's love.
Yeah.
Again, that's where Romans 8 is headed. Mm-hmm. That's where Paul was on the hinge about in 7, trying mm-hmm. to get you to in 8. So that you get to this place where you realize, wait, there is nothing that can separate me from the love of God, what's so in Christ good. Jesus. So when you good. Get to that spot, yeah. you will start sinning less.
Yeah.
When you recognize that, you will say,
yeah.
oh my word, this is who I am now. This is how he sees me.
And it's going to happen not because you're like, okay, I need to stop sinning. I need to sin a lot less. I need to sin a lot less.
That never happens.
It's because you're going, wow, I am overflowing
yes.
with the Spirit of God
yes.
to go and do good yes. on behalf of other people.
Yes.
And my core is not dirty, sinful, stained,
right.
all this stuff, but yep. I'm made new, I'm cleaned, I'm washed, I'm forgiven,
yes.
I'm loved, I'm, you know.
And that order is so important. This yeah. is why Paul will just say it with, you can almost hear him wanting to write in all caps for yeah. us, and bold it in italics. He says in Galatians 5:16, he says, I say then, here's what I'm saying to you, walk in the Spirit. In other words, walk in who you are, walk in what you've been made, walk in what he's done for you.
Yeah.
Here's the result. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Yeah.
That order is important.
So good.
Walk in your identity, who God has made you, what he calls you, who he says you are, and then you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. He didn't say it the other way around.
Yeah. And it doesn't even say, don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. It says,
right.
walk and you won't
yeah.
fulfill.
The natural byproduct will yeah. be. Yeah. So you will sin less.
Yeah.
And it will happen because you are walking in the Spirit more. Mm-hmm.
And that's the only way it's going to happen.
That's the only way it will happen. So, you know, the big question we started with, is it possible in the Christian life to actually sin less and less and less? And the answer is yes.
Yes.
An emphatic yes.
Yes.
In fact, if that's not happening, you need to get some counsel. You need to get with some
yeah.
people. You need to find out what's going on mm-hmm. because this is the trajectory we are destined for. This is what you were made for. This is what Jesus is driving toward. This is what the Holy Spirit is prompting you toward and leading you to. This is what the Father is arranging every event in your life toward. If that's not happening, get to a place where you can get some help and get some hope. Get around a group of people who are believing that and walking in that. In fact, you should come to Vertical Church.
Come on. Get plugged in. Yeah.
That's where absolutely we're seeing this very thing happen. So, yes. Again, yes, you can walk more sin less in this life. It's what we were made for. Read the scripture. Search it out yourself. See if what we've said today is not true. Come see us at Vertical. Meet a group of people who are walking this out in their life. We are lifting this up and living Him out.